Test Amud Beis, two lines on the bottom. So the Gemara says, "Hahu gavra de olave kenishta shakal sefer Torah yahiv lala devisu v'amar la hegite." So the Gemara is the following story: a guy walks into a shul, he takes the sefer Torah, hands the sefer Torah to his wife, and says, "This is your get." So Amar Rav Yosef l'maylechushla. So the Gemara says, "What's the concern here? Why would we even think in a million years that this would even be a valid get?" So the Gemara explains, "Imisha meimilin, ein meimilin, agabe meimilin." So if it's the gall nuts, right? So that can't be the case. In other words, the Gemara says it's not the case that the guy went ahead and wrote a get on the parchment, on the outside of the parchment of the Sefer Torah, because a Sefer Torah is processed with gall nuts, with meimilin, and the get is being written with meimilin. The Gemara has this idea that ein meimilin, agabe meimilin, that gall nut juice is not visible when it's written on top of something else, which is processed with gall nuts. So the Gemara says it can't be that the case is that the guy wrote the get on the outside of the Torah, because then the get wouldn't be visible. Imishum Christus de Isba, Habayina v'chasav lalishma v'leika. And if you're going to tell me that it's not the shot that the guy wrote a get, it's that he's handing the Torah, because in the Sefer Torah, in Parshas Ki Tse, there's the Parsha of get. And he's trying to say, I'm handing you the Torah that has the concept of get written in it. The problem is that, but the Torah wasn't written as a get lishma. That's like ABCs of a get. A get has to be written lishma. So, to say that the get was written lishma as a Sefer Torah is highly unlikely. The Gemara says, well, maybe not. V'chitema leichosh dilma akdim v'yohav lezuza l'safra me'ikara. Maybe you'll tell me, no, this crazy guy went ahead and he paid the sofer in advance of writing the Torah and said, when you write the Torah and you get to Parshas Ki Tse, have in mind that this is the get being written for me and for my wife. The Gemara says, but even if he did that, it's still going to be a pasul get, because as the Mishnah tells us much later on, the Masechet Daf Pei, the Mishnah says that there are other details that need to be written in the get. It's not enough to just say the get was written in the Shema. You have to have his name, you have to have her name, you have to have the name of the city and her city. So, that's not going to be written in the Sefer Torah. It's not going to say Reuven is divorcing Rachel in this city at this, it's not going to say that. So then the get should be possible anyway. So the question, of course, is for Rav Yosef, my kamash malan, she'ain meimilin, agabe meimilin. So the question is, what's the chiddush? Why is the Gemara even quoting this? Why would I have thought that a get in the form of a Sefer Torah is even valid, that the Gemara has to dispel that notion? So the Gemara says the answer is because Rav Yosef is teaching me this chiddush that we started the Gemara with, which is that you can't have gall nuts on top of gall nuts. In other words, again, if you write the get on the outside of the Torah which was processed using this gall nut method, it's not going to be valid. That's the only chiddush that the Gemara is extracting from this whole story. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chisda, get sheksavo shelo lishma, the heveral of kumus lishma, banu lemachlokes Rabbi Yehuda v'rabanan. Disanya, harei shehaya tzarech lichtov es Hashem v'niskavin lichtov Yehuda, v'tav Elohitil bodalis, maviral of kumus v'makachu divi Rabbi Yehuda, v'achachamim omrim ein Hashem en amuvchar." So the Gemara wants to suggest as follows. Imagine the following. Imagine a sofer writes a get and he does a shalol lishma, so he messed up. Obviously, a get written shalol lishma is not kosher. Everybody agrees to that. However, the question now becomes, can he retrace the get? Can he trace over the get and have in mind as he's tracing over the pre-existing letters that he's going to write it lishma? So the Gemara wants to suggest that the question of whether a sofer can retrace and write the get lishma should be basically a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan that appears in Masechet Shabbos. What's the context in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos? So the Gemara says, imagine the following. Guy is writing a Sefer Torah and he's intending to write Hashem's name, to write Yudke Vavke, and then he realizes he's supposed to write Hashem's name in the Torah. He thinks in his head that he's writing the word Yehuda, but then he actually forgets the Dalet. So at the end, he actually ends up writing Hashem's name anyway because he forgot the Dalet, but he thought he was writing Yehuda when he was really supposed to be writing Yudke Vavke. So everyone agrees that if you just left the Shem Hashem that way, it would not be valid. Why? Because the halacha is that there's a special idea that when you specifically write Shem Hashem in a Sefer Torah, there's an extra level of lishma or an extra level of kavana that's required. So the question now becomes, can I retrace over that Shem Hashem that I wrote without the proper kavana, thinking I was writing Yehuda, but then forgetting the dalet and actually writing Shem Hashem? Can I simply retrace, or is that going to be problematic? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no problem. He says, all you have to do is retrace Shem Hashem, and that's going to, properly sanctify Hashem's name in the Torah. The Chachamim use this kind of strange expression, Ein Hashem in Hamuvchar, which sounds something like it's not ideal. So in other words, it doesn't sound like the Chachamim are saying that it's going to disqualify anything. It's just saying that that's not the optimal way to do it. So the Gemara wants to claim that this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about whether you can retrace Hashem's name should be the same machlokas about whether you can retrace a get if it was initially written Shalol Lishma. So the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Dilma Lo. lohi ad kan lo kamri rabbanan hasam dibayina zeki liva an vehu veleka aval hachalo. So on the one hand, you could argue that perhaps the rabbanan only say that it's not ideal to retrace Shem Hashem because that's a lack of zeki liva an vehu. In this case, it's actually almost literal, right? Zeki liva an vehu, the Gemara in the Sechah Shabbos uses to allude to the concept of hidur mitzvah. In other words, that you're supposed to do mitzvahs in an optimal fashion. But here, zeki liva an vehu is being taken in an almost literal fashion. This is God's name, and I should beautify it. So, in other words, maybe there's a unique din when it comes to writing Hashem's name that we say that it has to be written in an optimal fashion. There is no such requirement of hidur mitzvah when it comes to writing a get. You don't have to write a get in the most beautiful way. As long as the get is kosher, that's good enough. So that's one way to potentially neutralize and say that this machlokas in the Sechah Shabbos between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan perhaps has nothing at all to do with the machlokas over here. Then the Gemara tries to neutralize it a second way. Amar of Chistam. I'm sorry. The Gemara says, Amar of Chista, Yachilnu l'mifsilinu l'chule gita da'alma. So it comes from Chista with this kind of very odd statement. He says, if I wanted to, I could disqualify all gittin in the world. So the Gemara explains, Amar le Rava ma'itayma, Ilema mishum d'chsev v'chasav, v'hacha ihi kakas v'lei, v'dilma aknuye akne le Rabbanan. So in other words, why would I have thought that I could disqualify all gittin? So in other words, maybe one could argue that we know that a get has to be written or at the very least authorized by the husband. It says, v'chasav l'sefer krisus, that he has to write the get, or again, he has to authorize the sofer to write the get, and typically the Gemara says that it was the woman who would hire and pay the sofer to write the get on her behalf. So therefore it would seem that if the get is being authorized by the woman, that's a problem, but the Gemara pushes back. Well, maybe the case was that even though she technically authorizes the writing of the get, but maybe she gives the get over to him as a kinyan, and then he hands the get back to her. Why is that not a feasible option? So the Gemara says, you're right, the elam yishum d'chsev v'nasan, v'hacha lo yohev lam maybe you'll tell me that the reason why Rav Chista could have theoretically disqualified El Gittin is because the Torah says Vinasan, that the husband has to give something to the wife. So I could have argued that, in other words, the get is not really worth anything. It's not worth a Shavapruta. So the Gemara says, okay, but maybe that's not what the pasuk means. Maybe the word Vinasan just means that he's giving her the get. In other words, it could very well be that the piece of paper on which the get is written itself is not worth anything. It's just a piece of paper that's worth less than a pruta, but maybe that's not what the Torah means at all. The Torah just means that he's actually handing the get over to her. And in fact, the Gemara says, Teida the Shalchu Mitam Ksavu Al Yisurei HaNakash. And where it says, in fact, I'll even prove it to you that a get that's written on a piece of paper that's worthless could still be a valid get. It could still be a fulfillment of the concept of the Nasan of handing over the get. Because as the Gemara is going to talk about right now in a second, there is an idea that if a get is written on something which is Asr Bahana, despite the fact that we assume, at least according to most Achronim, that something Asr Bahana has no value, and why that is a whole separate discussion. But the bottom line is that, you know, something which is Asr Bahana has no value, the get is still kosher. So if I write a get on I write a get on a leaf of Arla. I write a get on a cheeseburger. I write a get on something which is Asr Bahana. The Gemara says that such a get is still going to be kosher. So that's a proof, the Gemara says, that even though it's worthless, it's valueless, it doesn't matter, the get is still going to be kosher. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this last statement. Gufa. Shalchu mitam. Kasvali suri hana kosher. Amar Rav Ashi. Afana nami tinina. Al ha'ol zayis. So the Gemara wants to suggest a proof to this idea that a get written on Isure hana is still a valid get. What's the proof? Because the Mishnah tells us that if I write a get on a leaf from an olive grove, that's also valid, that's also a kosher get, even though the leaf of the olive grove presumably is not worth anything. So isn't this a proof that something written on Isurei Hana, despite the fact that it's worth nothing, is still going to be considered a valid get? So the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, Dilma shiny ala shel zayis, dechazi le'itstarufe. One could argue that although the leaf of the olive grove itself is not worth anything, you can combine it with other things that could theoretically make it worth a pruta, whereas Isurei Hana fundamentally are not worth anything. Then the Gemara says, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Kasval Isurei Hana Kasher, Nafak Levi, Drasha, Mishmei de Rebbe, Velo Kalsua, Mishmei de Rabbim, Velo Kalsua, Alma Hilchasa Kevase. So basically, the Gemara says that Levi was trying to promulgate this idea that if you write a get on Isurei Hana, the get is still Kasher, but initially he quoted this halacha in the name of Levi, so nobody praised him because he was only quoting a Das Yachid, but eventually he quoted it in the name of the Rabbim, in the name of the Chachamim, and then people praised him, and this is the accepted halacha. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbanan. V'chasav v'lo v'chaka. Comes the Gemara with another drasha. When the Torah says that you have to write a get, the Gemara says that is to the exclusion of what's called chakika. Chakika refers to chiseling. If you chisel a get on a rock or something like that, that is problematic. That is not a valid get. So asks the Gemara, lememra da chakika lav ksivahi. Does that mean to say that chiseling is not considered a form of writing in halacha? Uriminhu evet sheyatza b'chsav shal gabi tavla ufinkas yatza l'chiros avalo b'chsav shal gabi kipa v'anduchteri. The Gemara quotes the following distinction. If let's say you want to give your Eved Kanani a Shtar Shechur, you want to free your Eved Kanani. So the Gemara makes the following distinction. If the Shtar Shechur is written on a slate, on a tablet, you chiseled it out and you put it on a rock, on a slab of rock or something like that, that's a valid Shtar Shechur. However, if you were to merely embroider or, you know, put it on a cap or something like that, you embroider the Shtar Shechur, that's not valid. So the fact that I can chisel a Shtar Shechur onto a slab of rock would seem to indicate that Chakika is in fact a valid form of writing. So why doesn't it work by a get? So the Gemara says, no. Amar ula amar Rabbi Elazar lo kashya, hadachak tochos, hadachak yerechos. The Gemara makes the following distinction. It depends on the nature of the chiseling. The Gemara says, if you do what's called chak tochos basically means that you don't actually carve the letters out per se. What you do is you essentially remove the background around the stone. In other words, you essentially press all of the excess stone around, and then the letters kind of pop out from the middle. So that's called chak tochos. That's not a valid get. That's not valid for a shtar shechur, because you're not actually writing or chiseling letters, you're essentially removing the outside and the letters are popping up on their own. That's problematic. Whereas chak yerechos is where you're actively chiseling the letters. I take a hammer or whatever tools I'm using and I'm actually carving out the specific letters that I need. The Gemara says that would be a valid form of chakika. So asks the Gemara, v'sochos lo, is chak tochos, is carving the outside and just letting the letters pop out, is that problematic? Urim minhu, lo hayaksavo shokeya ela bolid kedinri zahav. V'hadinri zahav tochos. So the Gemara quotes, when it comes to the writing of the Choshen that was on the ephod of the Kohen Gadol, the Gemara tells us that the writing was not shokeya, it wasn't embedded into the stones of the Choshen, but rather it was bolet, it was protruding, and the Gemara compares it to golden coins, the golden dinars. So the Gemara says, that golden coins, the way in which the images on the coins were formed, was in the same methodology of chak tochos. Namely, they would press the outside of the slab of metal or copper or you know whatever material they were using, and the image would pop out on its own. So doesn't that imply that chak tochos is a valid form of ksiva? So the Gemara says no. Kedin rezav velo kedin rezav. Kedin rezav divolit velo kedin rezav diiluhasam tochos hacha yerechos. The Gemara says that the difference is as follows, that in other words, it's only like the golden coins when it comes to the fact that it's protruding, that it's sticking out. In other words, that the image is like three-dimensional. But in terms of the way in which it's processed to begin with, the Gemara says it resembles more like chak tochos. It's more like, in other words, it's more like actually carving the letters out themselves, like chak yerechos, as opposed to chak tochos, where you're just pressing the side and the image comes out on its own. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Rushma michratz charitz o kanufe michanif, Amar le Michrat Schar. The Gemara wants to know how exactly were coins minted in the times of the Gemara. So in other words, the Gemara is essentially asking the same question. Did they essentially remove the outside and then the image would just kind of pop out on its own into the coin? Or did they actively try to, you know, essentially compress the coin and actively make an image? So the Gemara says that it was the first method. In other words, that they would press and they would remove all the outside and then the image would essentially pop out on its own. So asks the Gemara, Yisive, lo hayak savu shokeya ela bolit kedin rezav, as we quoted in the Gemara a second ago, when it came to the letters being written on the Choshen of the Ephod, the Gemara told us that the letters were not embedded into the stones, but rather they protruded like those golden coins. The Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the way in which coins were minted, the images on the coins were minted, was through this methodology that we keep on speaking about of chak tochos, where they would remove the outside and the image would essentially pop out on its own, the Gemara says that's a violation of the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. When the Torah is describing in Parshas Tetzaveh the way in which the choshen and the ephod were made, the pasuk says michtav pituchei chosam. So the word michtav implies that it has to be an active ksiva. Simply removing the excess metal and having the image of the coin pop out on its own is insufficient to fulfill the requirement of michtav. So the Gemara says, you're right, kedin rezav velo kedin rezav, kedin rezav devole velo kedin rezav, diluhasa migavai v'hachamei abharai. The Gemara essentially gives the same answer that it gave before, which is that the stone, the words that were written on the choshen of the ephod only resemble golden coins vis-a-vis the fact that they would actually protrude. But in terms of the way in which they were made, in terms of the fact that it was, you know, the image was actively compressed versus removing the excess metal and having the image pop out on its own, the Gemara says that they were radically different in that sense. Okay, now the Gemara says, ba'amine rav amir rav nachman, kasav la get al tas shel zahav, va'amir la hiskabli gitech, v'hiskabli ksubaseich maus. So the Gemara says, imagine the following. A guy writes a get on a slab of gold, and he says to his wife, this is your get, and also, and this is also the value of your ksuba. In other words, he wants her to accept the value of the gold as payment for her ksuba. So the question is, what's the halacha in that scenario? So Amar le, niskabla gita, v'niskabla ksuba. So the Gemara says, that works. That's a valid get, and it's also a valid repayment of the ksuba, because the gold is worth the value of her ksuba. So asks the Gemara, esive, niskabla gita, v'hashar l'ksuba seich, niskabla gita, v'hashar l'ksuba sa, taima de'ika sha'ar halika sha'ar lo. The problem is that the Braisa tells us that if a man says to his wife, this is your get, and the remainder is your ksuba. In other words, for example, let's say a man writes a get on an oversized piece of paper. So the get only takes up half the paper. So he says, the first half is the get, and the rest of the half of the piece of paper, let's say it's worth a shavapruta, or it's worth whatever the value of the woman's ksuba is going to be to repay her ksuba. So the Gemara says, that works. That's a valid repayment of the ksuba. The Gemara says, the implication is that the only reason why this is considered a valid repayment of the ksuba is because you have this excess paper there that's worth the value of her ksuba, implying that if there was nothing left over, like in the case of the gold slab, the Gemara never makes this distinction and says, oh, that there's some excess gold. It just says, it says that he wrote to get on a golden slab and handed her the gold, that's considered to be a valid repayment of the ksuba. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Hu hadin afa gav de leka shar, v'ha kamash malan, da afa gav de ika shar, I amar la in ilo lo, maitaima avir demagiltahu. The Gemara says, no, really, it doesn't, you know, fundamentally make a difference whether there's excess paper or excess gold or not. The only thing that matters is whether the husband specifies that the gold or the paper is going to be for the repayment of the ksuba. Why does he have to specify that? Because if he doesn't, the Gemara says, then the baseline assumption is that any excess paper is what the Gemara calls avira de megilta. In other words, it's basically the margins of the paper. You don't look at a piece of paper. It could very well be that a piece of paper is only half full, that half the paper is really not needed for the get, technically speaking, but you don't look at it and say, oh, you know what, half that paper I'm going to use for something else, unless the husband specifies it for that purpose. That's the chiddush of the Gemara, that the husband has to go out of his way to specify that the rest of the paper is dafka being used to pay off her ksuba. If he doesn't do that, then you have to assume that it's all just part of that same piece of paper that's being used for the get. Okay. Then the Gemara's,
Rabbi, yes. Saying that there has to be excess gold in order to satisfy...
No, so that's exactly what the Gemara's not saying.
Okay, so then I have a problem.
Yeah.
What is the implication if a woman needs to melt down her get in order...
In theory, a woman doesn't need to really hold on... Well, correct, but in theory, a woman doesn't technically need to hold on to her get forever. Now, it's usually it would be a good idea if she ever has to come to Beis Din, there ever has to be some, you know, something adjudicated, or she wants to get money from her husband, she might have to prove it, she needs a get. But in theory, in other words, once a get is given, a woman is divorced. And in theory, if the get gets destroyed, she's still divorced. It may be harder to prove it later on, right, if she doesn't have the copy of the get, but it's not like she can't go down, you know, go and melt the gold down if she really wanted to. She could theoretically do that. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Hareza Giteich V'Haniyar Shali, in a megureshes, amenas shetachaziri liyasaniyar harizo megureshes. Imagine you have the following case. The husband is very, very stingy. So he says to his wife, this is your get, but I'm keeping the paper. The paper belongs to me. Where says that for sure doesn't work, because you have to, because the whole point of handing a get over is that you have to give her control of the get. If you're still holding on to the piece of paper, that's not a valid get. However, if the husband says, this is your get on the condition that you're going to return the paper to me, the Gemara says that is a valid get. Then the Gemara says, Bayer of Papa, bein shita lishita uvein teva lateva mai teku. The Gemara is unsure what the halacha would be in the following. Let's say the husband is really stingy, and he says that, in other words, he says to his wife, I'm going to give you all the parts of the paper where the get is actually written, but all of the lines in between, all the blank spaces in between the letters, in between the words, in between the lines, I'm keeping for myself. So the Gemara says, that we're not sure about the halacha is in that case. The Gemara leaves that as an unresolved suffix, whether such a get is kosher. So the Gemara says, hang on a second. The sefuklei, the sefer echad amarachaman of eloshnaim ushlosh asfarim. The Gemara says, hang on a second. Such a get should certainly be problematic. Why? Because there's a din. The Gemara in Masechta Sota actually derives this halacha that there's a concept called sefer echad. That when the Torah says that a get is called a sefer krisus, the word sefer presupposes that it's all one unit. To start saying that I'm going to start chopping up the letters, I'm going to start using scissors and cutting out this part and that part, that's a violation of sefer echad. That's like multiple svarim that you're putting together. So there was no lo tricha de meura. The case is that the letters of the get are intertwined in such a way that even if you were to cut out all the blank spaces, it would still look like one sefer. So that's the case where the Gemara has a shaila, whether if the husband says, I'm holding on to all the blank spaces of the paper in between the letters, whether the get is kosher. If the get looks like, two, three different svarim when it's cut up, then everyone agrees that the get is possible. The suffix is, in this scenario where the get can still look like it's one unit, even when it's cut up, the Gemara is unsure whether such a get is going to be kosher. Okay. And the Gemara says, Boy Rami Barchama, Hayu Muchzakin Be'evet Shehu Shalo, Veget Kosov Al Yado, Vaharehu Yotze Mitachas Yada Mahu, Mi Amrina Naknuye Aknela, Odil Mahu Minavshe Ayo. So the Gemara says, imagine the following scenario. You have an Evet Kanani, and we know for the last 20 years that this Evet Kanani belongs to the husband. No one debates that. But there's a get written on the Evet Kanani's hand. We'll see in the Gemara in a second exactly how that happened. And now the Evet Kanani is walking out of the woman's possession, out of the woman's backyard. So the question is, can we assume that the husband handed the Eved Kanani with the get written on him to the woman, and therefore the woman is divorced? Or maybe no. Maybe the Eved Kanani just wandered over to the woman's house, to the woman's backyard, and there's no proof that the husband actually handed the Eved Kanani over to her husband. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, the Sepuk Leit, the Chesav Sheyachol his Da'ifu. The Gemara says, hang on a second, forget about this whole case of the get being written on the Eved Kanani's hand and being handed over. The Gemara says, this whole get should be puzzle, may why? Because this is what the Gemara calls a ksav sheyachol lehizdai. This is a type of a writing that's easily forged. Why is it easily forged? Because when you're writing something on someone's hand, you could just, tamper with it. You could write something else. So the Gemara says this whole get should be in that. Forget about the question of who owns the Eved, whose possession was the Eved. And even if we knew for a fact that the husband handed the Eved Kanani over to the wife, the get should still be invalid because the get is, theoretically easily tampered with. So the Gemara takes a step back here. The Gemara says, well, hang on a second. L'rava, kashya masnisa al hayad shel Eved. But then the whole Mishnah doesn't make any sense. The Mishnah told us that you're allowed to write a get on the hand of an Eved. So why is that okay then? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Bishlam amasnisa l'rava lo kashya be'edi misira v'rabi alazar hi ela l'rami barchama kashya. The Gemara says, no. The Mishnah you could explain away as saying, this is the mantra that we've seen already 100 times in Masechet Gittin, which is that Mishnah is reflecting the famous opinion of Rabbi Elazar that edi misira karsay. That again, Rabbi Elazar is the one who says that divorce is only effectuated when the witnesses witness the actual handing over of the get, or in this case, the Eved Kanani, on whose arm the get is written. So if you say that it's the Ede Mesira, so then it doesn't matter that the writing is theoretically able to be forged or tampered with, because as long as there were witnesses who saw the husband handing the Eved over to the wife, that's all that you need, and that get is going to be valid. But according to Rami Barcham, according to our Gemara here, where the Gemara doesn't necessarily subscribe to Rabbi Elazar's position that Ede Mesira kai say, so once you tell me that the writing of the get is theoretically tamperable, that you could forge it, so that should undermine the validity of the get. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true.
Yeah. I thought we said it has to be permanent in order
Well, that's part of the Gemara's question, because once something is not permanent, once you can easily play around with it, that's what the Gemara calls a ksav sheyachol lehizdayif. So that's the Gemara's next line. That's the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Lurami Baruch.
Even if you make a tattoo, you're not allowed to make a tattoo, right?
That's true. You're not allowed to make a tattoo, but that's part of the whole discussion in the Rishon. That's the next line of the Gemara, is that the case is that you're going to make a tattoo on the Eved Kanani. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim about that. In other words, one could argue that maybe it is us to make a tattoo, but maybe it's us, but the get is still valid. Or maybe you could argue that he's an Eved Kanani, maybe he's not Chayv and Mitzos the same way. There's a lot written about this, about what exactly the next line of the Gemara means. But either way, the Gemara says, L'Rabbi Bar Chama, Nami lo kashe b'chsovis kaka, hashta da'asas l'hachim asnis, and Nami lo tikshe b'chsovis kaka. Basically, the Gemara says, as we just pointed out, the cases where you tattooed the get onto the hand of the Eved, so there's no way to tamper with it, to forge it. Again, how that works out, l'halacha is a whole separate discussion. Fine. And then the Gemara asks, my havela, so what was the conclusion of this question? If I see an Eved Kanani in a woman's possession, we knew the Eved Kanani belonged to the husband for the last 20 years, the Eved Kanani is in the woman's possession, there's a get written on his hand, can I now assume that the woman is considered divorced? So the Gemara says, Tashma de Amar Rish Lakish, Hagodros Ein Lahen Chazaka. Comes Rish Lakish, so this is the statement that appears in Mes Maseches Ksubas and Maseches Bava Basra, where Reish Lakish is discussing what are called Godros. Godros are essentially animals that wander around. So in other words, usually, you know, we have this concept in Halacha called Chazaka, which is that possession is 9/10 of the law. If you have something in your possession, there's a pretty good chance that it belongs to you. It's highly unlikely that you stole it, that you're just borrowing it. You know, most things that are in your possession probably belong to you. However, there are certain types of things that could theoretically wander into your backyard. You could have, there could be an animal that just wanders. So the Gemara says when it comes to wandering types of animals, so there's no way to prove that it's yours. Just because it's in your backyard, it could have wandered from somewhere else. So the Gemara says the same is true by Navi Kanani is its own individual. He's a person, so he could walk wherever he wants. So just because he's sitting in the woman's backyard, that doesn't prove that he actually belongs to the woman. Then the Gemara says, "Bay Rami Bar Chama, hayu muchzakin betavla shehishala veget kasuv aleha v'harehi yotza mitachas yadomahu mi amrina aknuyak niselei odilma lo yadala aknuy." So now the Gemara is almost asking the reverse question here. The Gemara says, let's say you have a slab of wood or whatever, some kind of material that we know belongs to the woman, and now there's a get written on this slab, and now it's coming out of the man's possession, and he's handing it over to the woman. So the question is, do we assume that the woman made some kind of a formal kinyan, handing the slab over to the husband? The husband wrote a get on it, or he authorized the get being written, and then handed it back to the wife, in which case that would, of course, be a valid get. Or maybe the Gemara says that lo yada la akru, that women don't know how to make kinyanim. What does it mean that women don't know how to make kinyanim? So as we'll see in the Gemara in a second, what that basically means is that women think that kinyanim is just a formality. They don't really believe that, you know, you're actually transferring possession of the slab to the husband. They just think this is all part of the halacha, just some kind of, you know, some sort of like a religious ritual. They don't actually believe that a kinyan is happening, in which case the kinyan is not valid, and therefore the divorce would not be valid either. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Tashma, afhu heid al kfar katan shahayu b'tzad Yerushalayim, v'haya bo zake nechad, v'haya malve l'chob b'nei hakfar, v'chose b'chsav yado v'achirim chosmen, uva'maisa l'vnei chachamim v'hichshiru." The Gemara quotes a Mishnah Maseches Idios that says the following. There was a small village next to Yerushalayim. There was an older person there, this Talmud Chacham, who used to lend money to all of the villagers. However, the way in which he would do this is that he would write up the shtar himself. He would write up the document himself saying that I lent money to Reuven, to Shimon, to whoever, and then he would get the people to sign on the shtar. So the Gemara says that they asked the Chachamim whether this is valid, and they said, it's fine, it's not a problem. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'amai haba'ina sefer mikna v'leika. There's a requirement in Sefer Yirmiyahu, the Pasuk talks about a sefer mikna when it comes to making some kind of an agreement to purchase land or to purchase property. So the Pasuk says you have to have a sefer mikna. You have to have like some kind of a deed, some kind of a bill. So the Gemara says, so how could you call that a sefer if the malva himself is writing it? In other words, it sounds like it was never transferred to anyone. He was holding on to the shtar himself the whole time. So the Gemara says, no. Obviously, the Gemara says that this guy, this Talmud Chacham, obviously gave over the shtar as in a form of a kinyan to the villagers, and then they signed it, and then they handed it back, and that's the way in which that loan was effectuated. So the Gemara pushes back. Amar Rava Umay Kushya Dilma Zakin Shaini Diyada Laknui. The Gemara says maybe this whole story of the Zakin, the guy lending money to the people in his village, is not a good proof text anyway, because maybe he knew the halacha, but who's to say that the woman necessarily knows? As we pointed out in the Gemara before, she thinks that transferring ownership, this whole thing, is just a formality. She, in other words, she doesn't really believe that the husband owns the tablet or owns the slab of wood that she handed over to him. So the Gemara says maybe this whole Mishnah in Adios is not a good proof anyway. So the Gemara says you're right. Ella Amar Rava Mehacha Ariv Hayotze La'acher Chitum Shtaros Govem in the Chasim Nechar. The Gemara quotes a very complicated Mishnah that appears at the end of Bava Basra, also at the end of Maseches Ksuba, about the following. Imagine you have a guarantor on a loan. So the problem is, in other words, the question becomes: let's say the lender defaults on the loan, and now the borrower defaults on the loan, and the lender wants to go to the guarantor to get his money back. So the question is: which types of property is the lender entitled to go take from the guarantor? He can't just go to the guarantor and take anything that he owns. The Gemara says that it depends on the type of property that he has. You know, in halacha there are two types of property. There's what's called nechasim mishubadim and nechasim b'nechor. Nechasim mishubadim means property that has a lien on it, whereas nechasim b'nechor means basically unlien, unfettered property, property that, you know, was unsold. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Basra and Ksubis that if you have a scenario where the lender has to go to the guarantor to get his money back, in other words, any possessions that he owned that were unsold, that were unfettered, that had no lien on them, after the promissory note, after the shtar was already signed, so the lender is not, in other words, the lender is only allowed to go after the nechasim b'nei chor. He's only allowed to collect from the unfettered, unsold property. He's not allowed to go to the nechasim mishubadim, to anything that was lien, in other words, after his name was already signed on the shtar. So the Gemara says, presumably the only way in which the guarantor is going to be held liable and going to be held accountable to repay this loan is only in a case where the shtar was actually transferred to the guarantor. So the Gemara says, doesn't that prove that you actually have to transfer the shtar in order for this to work? So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rav Ashi, my kushya, Dilma Gavra Shai Diyad Lachnit. So again, the same answer we gave earlier. Maybe men understand the mechanics of this halacha, but the women don't. The women, again, as we pointed out before, think that the whole thing is just a formality. So finally, the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Ashi Mehacha, Isha Koseves as Gita Vehaish Koseves Shovaro, Shein Kiyum Aged Ela Bechosama. Finally, the Gemara quotes the final proof. This is a Mishnah we have on tomorrow's daf. It's also a Mishnah Maseches Idios that says that a woman can actually write her own get and a man can write his own receipt. Why is that okay? Because the bottom line is that the get and the receipt don't mean anything until they're signed. So the Gemara says the woman can write her own get as long as, again, that's going to presuppose that she's going to then transfer the piece of paper to her husband. So this proves that even the women have the mental capacity to understand this idea that you have to transfer ownership, that it's not enough to just say the whole thing is just a formality. They fully grasp, they fully understand what's going on, and that's the ultimate proof in the Gemara that the women are actually able to transfer things and that they understand how to do that, and that's the mechanism in which the ownership is going to be transferred from the wife to from life to the husband.